as you come. Heavenly Father, we pray for Kim's words now. May you anoint them and help her to teach us and to share how we can grow as disciples of you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Natalie. Good evening. Good evening. My name is Kim. I'm part of the staff team here, and it's wonderful to be here again, preaching for what seems like the umpteenth time on strength for the world that we live in. We have got 2 weeks left on strength for the world that we live in, which is wonderful, because I have been feeling really empowered to live and to pray and to act and to speak in a way that communicates God's kingdom in our world. And we have been looking at this topic since Easter, understanding that even though we live in the kingdom of this world, actually we are of the kingdom of God. And that dual citizenship has an effect on the way that we live, and it has a spiritual effect. And we started thinking about 3 weeks ago now about suffering and perseverance in the world that we live in, and trying to understand why things don't always work out God's way. We were thinking about free will. We've been thinking about the spiritual dynamics of the spiritual realm, how the angelic forces and the demonic forces are working for and against us. And then last week, Wayne introduced this idea that we push back the kingdom of this world and we bring in the kingdom of God, not just by the way that we pray, because we'd spent a lot of time thinking about prayer and intercession, but also about the way that we speak about the kingdom of God and the way that we live out the kingdom of God. And it is this theme of living in God's kingdom, the things that we do, the things that we act, the way that we behave, and that we are continuing to think about today. The way that we live out the kingdom of God to advance God's kingdom and to push back the kingdom of this world. And so our passage tonight is taken from the book of Romans, and we're going to read it in a moment, but it is written to the church in Rome about 20 years after the death of Jesus, and Paul is writing to a congregation that he has never met before, and he is laying out the whole of his understanding of salvation. And as we come into the section that our passage is taken from, he's describing the consequences of faith. He says, faith puts you into a relationship with Jesus, and that opens us up to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, it transforms us. It makes us more like Jesus as the Spirit works in our lives. And as we become more like Jesus, we start to do the things that Jesus would do in the world. We start to act like him, not even necessarily out of our own consciousness, but because the Spirit is working in us and transforming us to be more like Jesus. And then we get to our passage in Romans chapter 12. And you can start trying to find Romans chapter 12 in your Bible. And it is a wonderful description of the behaviors and the characteristics that we develop when we allow the Spirit of God to fill us and to transform our being. So our passage is in Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 9 through verse 21. And it says this. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, and I will repay." On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Love. Paul says that the way we live is all about living in love. Live as though you are filled with love. Live as though you were an active, living, walking, talking demonstration of love in this world. Live actually just like Jesus did. But not falsely. Not as though you were loving people, not living it as though you love people, but you're actually not loving people. Because Paul says very clearly, love must be sincere. The way that we live in relation to people is in love, and it is in sincerity of love. When we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and to transform us, we are filled with a love for God's people, which is sincere. And when we're filled with that love, it starts to make us look a bit different. Paul says that we hate what is evil. We cling to what is good. We're devoted to one another. We honor one another. We serve. We're joyful and patient and faithful. We pray and we share and we practice hospitality. All of these things flow out of the fact that we allow the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in our lives. And when he does, he starts transforming us and making us look more like Jesus. We take on this family likeness. And there are similar lists like this throughout all of Paul's letters, lists of how the Spirit transforms us. You have like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. You have those classic wedding passages from Corinthians about what love is like. In Colossians, he talks about being clothed in love, clothed in compassion and kindness. Passage after passage after passage about what love looks like when we allow it to dwell in us and to be expressed in our lives. We are to love sincerely. Paul says we are to love sincerely the Lord's people. Well, that's easy, isn't it? When we are in here together and you are a lovely looking bunch of people and you're all really nice and complimentary to me after the service and I can love you really easily. But when we are in a spiritual battle, which we know that we are, when we know that we have weapons to fight in that battle, and prayer is a really important weapon, and we've been thinking about that. And praise and worship is a really important spiritual weapon in that battle. And Natalie is going to be thinking about that next week. But another really important weapon in our spiritual battle is our actions. The way that we behave, the things that we do, act like a spiritual weapon in this world. It doesn't just have a physical consequence, the way that we live out in this world. It has a spiritual impact in the kingdom of God. And that is why Paul moves on to say, love sincerely, not just the people of God, but the people who persecute you. He says in verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless them and do not curse them, do not repay anyone evil for evil. In fact, in each of Paul's passages where he is extolling the virtues of love throughout his letters, it always comes in a context where Paul is acutely aware that what he is proposing is not a natural thing to do. He is acutely aware that loving in this kind of self-sacrificial way is massively countercultural, and Paul knows that. It's massively unnatural in terms of the natural desires of our flesh, the way that the world wants to live. For example, in Galatians, when he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, he talks, he contrasts that to the works of the flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, like an average Friday night out in Leeds. It's always in contrast to the ways of the world. He knows that this is not a normal or natural way to live. He knows that loving your enemies is not a normal or natural way to live. And yet, the characteristics that the Holy Spirit develops in us and the way that we live in love stand in direct opposition to the kingdom of this world. When we behave in a way which is countercultural, when we behave in a way which is unnatural, when we behave in a way which is full of love and full of light, we drive back the darkness, we push back the kingdom of this world, and we advance the kingdom of God just by being the people God designed us to be and allowing Him, allowing His love to flow through our lives. Let me give you an example. Martin Luther King was a man who knew what it was to be hated. He was the face of the American Civil Rights Movement, and he dedicated his life to pursuing justice against apartheid, but doing that in a non-violent way. But it's really fascinating that he didn't just have face opposition from white supremacists in his time. He actually faced opposition from people within the civil rights movement itself, from other black activists who sought the same outcomes as him, but wanted to do it by different means, who thought that pursuing a course of non-violence was frustratingly slow. They were disillusioned by the slow pace of change. They wanted something that was more confrontational, that was more violent in approach. One was quoted as saying, "We want freedom and we want it now. We don't want freedom drip-fed to us in teaspoons over the next 150 years. They had a desperation for justice and they wanted to achieve it by any means possible. And yet Martin Luther King said no. We have to do this in a non-violent way. And what is interesting is that he didn't say that because of a dislike for violence. That's not what motivated him in non-violent protest. What motivated him was a commitment to love. A commitment to love all of God's created, chosen people. He said this: "An overflowing love which seeks nothing in return is the love of God operating in the human heart. At this level, we love men not because we like them, not because their ways appeal to us, not even because they possess some type of divine spark. We love every man because God loves them. At this level, we love the person who does the evil deed, although we hate the deed he does. Through violence, you may murder the hater, but you do not murder the hate. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." When we are in the kingdom of God and we long for the reign of the kingdom of God to be known in the world and in the lives of those around us, we cannot drive out the kingdom of darkness by operating in hate or fear or aggression or just narcness or getting a bit chipped off with people. The only way we advance the kingdom of God is by operating in love. And that is why letter after letter, time after time, Paul calls us to put on love and to operate out of love, because only love pushes back the darkness. So I wonder, where you feel like the kingdom of this world is oppressing your life. Where are you facing against the kingdom of darkness? Where are your liberties as children of God being squashed and restricted by the kingdom of this world? Where do you face evil in your life? Well, wherever it is, we have a part to play. Wayne reminded us last week that we have a part to play in declaring the kingdom of God in the way that we speak. And we see that in Martin Luther King's life, don't we? He spoke the truth. Men created men and women. All men are created equal. He spoke the truth. But we also need to push back the darkness by the way that we live. That means that when we feel oppressed in our schools or our workplaces because people are constantly getting Christians down, Christians have got a bad reputation for lacking integrity or for just constantly being persecuted in the way that people speak about you, that means that we respond in love. We don't respond by repeating those things back at the people who are saying them to us. We respond in love, in the way that we act. We push back the darkness by living in the light, by living as though we are full of love and light. That doesn't mean that we can't speak the truth. We do speak the truth, but we act in love. And when we do that, when we can do that, when we can allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, then just simply by standing and living in love, we push back the kingdom of darkness by our very presence. Not even by doing mighty, wonderful acts or literally going and rescuing slaves with IGN. We don't, you know, not that is wonderful, but just by being who we are in the place where we are and behaving as though we were Jesus, that pushes back the darkness. And it brings freedom and it brings light. And when we are in a spiritual battle, that is one of our great weapons, and we need to embrace that. And so, some questions for us to ponder this evening. Where do you feel like you need to know more of the grace of the kingdom of God? Where are those battle points? Where are the conflict points in your life, in your relationships, in your context, your setting, wherever you find yourself? Where are those points where it just doesn't feel like you're living in the grace of God? Where it doesn't feel like that life in all its fullness and God's kingdom flourishing is happening? And then how can you live in love in that place? Well, firstly, you need to be full of the Holy Spirit and full of God's love. So are you making time for your life to be filled? Are you making space for the Spirit to fill you? And then how can you act in these ways? How can you bless the people who persecute you? How can you live in harmony with people? How can you be humble? How can you be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone? Not that we do this in our own strength, but we constantly ask in the Spirit to allow us to live in Jesus' ways. How do you need God to fill you to be light where you are? Let's pray together. Father God, I pray that you would pour out on us again your Holy Spirit. That you would fill us again with your love. We thank you that by the very act of being your children in this world, we are shining your light wherever we are. Even if we don't feel like we're doing great, magnificent, wonderful things, our very being here brings you here, brings your presence. And so we pray that you would fill us and that you would be transforming us. We pray for that love which is humble, that is full of joy and patience and faithfulness, that is open and welcoming and hospitable. We pray for love to live in harmony with people who make it really difficult to live in harmony with them. Oh, Father God, I pray specifically for people here who are finding it so difficult to live lovingly towards people because of the oppression and the persecution that they receive. We thank you that you give us the strength and the resources we need to be able to do that. And that in choosing to walk a path of love, we're declaring your greatness. We're declaring a reliance on you and your kingdom. So, Father, we ask that your Spirit would make us more like Jesus, that we would represent him in this world, that we would do wonderful things in his name, that we would extend the reign of your kingdom regardless of the enemy who comes against us and the things that stand in our way. All because of you, because it starts with you pouring out your Spirit on us, Lord.